Hello. I wanted to let you know that I just popped out of bed with utter clarity of the exact right, perfect, maybe even profound thing to say in today's podcast introduction. Only to find that by the time I patted the dog on her head and got myself a glass of water, it was gone. And so, please keep your eyes open next time you get to sleep. Maybe it will come to you. Good morning. It's Wednesday, the 9th of August, 2006, and it's Mitt's Bedtime Story Podcast. How the Devil Lost His Poncho by Ricardo Palmer. Once, when our Lord was travelling about the world upon his gentle little donkey, restoring sight to the blind and recovering the use of their limbs to the lame, he came into a region where there was nothing at all but sand. Here and there was a rustling, slender palm, under whose shade gentle Jesus would stop with his disciples, who would fill their sacks with dates. As eternal as the Lord himself seemed that desert, with neither beginning nor end. The travellers, heavy-hearted, prepared to spend the night with only a starry sky for shelter, when, picked out by the last ray of the setting sun, the silhouette of a belfry showed upon the horizon. Lord Jesus, shading his eyes to see better, said, "I see a town over there. Peter, you know all about geography. Could you tell me what city that is?" Saint Peter grinned at the compliment. "Master, that is the city of Ica."
"Well, then, let us move along."
The donkeys jogged about briskly, and they all soon reached town. Jesus, just before they entered, gently reminded Peter that he must not lose his temper.
"You're always getting us into trouble with your temper," said our Lord. "Please try to keep it under control."
The people of the city rolled out the welcome mat for these illustrious visitors. Even though the little party was anxious to be on its way, the townsfolk made everything so pleasant that a week had passed before you could whistle. During that week the city of Ica seemed like the alcove of paradise. Doctors and dentists sat idly in their offices, and the druggists made up no prescriptions. Not a complaint was registered before the advocates. There was not even a cross word between husband or wife, nor any, miracle of miracles, nor any malice expressed by mothers and sisters-in-law. How long this idyllic existence might have gone on, nobody knows, for, on the eighth day, our Lord received a message calling him to return to Jerusalem, to stand between Mary Magdalene and the unfriendly Samaritan women. Rather than bother the hospitable folk of Ica with long-winded excuses and explanations, the gentle traveller decided to leave suddenly, during the night, with his companions. Early the next morning, then, when the city council called to give a special morning concert, they found their guests gone. But after he and his party had gone several miles from the city, the Lord turned and blessed the little town of Ica in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Naturally, such a succession of events could not remain out of the newspapers. The devil, therefore, received the news by the earliest mail.
He gnashed his teeth with chagrin and swore that no one could steal a march on him. Calling together the chief of his demons, that he had them disguise themselves as disciples. The art of make-up and disguise is certainly close to the heart of the horned one. So, putting on high boots and ponchos, he and his party started on their journey. The citizens of Ica, seeing the travellers in the distance, rushed out to greet them, hoping this time that the Lord and his companions would remain there forever. Up to this time, of course, there had been happiness and content in Ica, such as existed nowhere else. The citizens paid their taxes without complaint, let the politicians run politics, and regarded helping their neighbours as the most important thing in life. Needless to say, this bliss made the devil quiver with rage, and he determined to upset the apple cart at the first opportunity. Just at the time the devil arrived, a marriage was about to take place between a young man and a young girl made for each other as ewe for ram. Here was a perfect match. Satan waited his time, as he always does, and when the toasts began to go down the thirsty gullets, the liquor produced not the friendly elevation of spirits that banquets should foster, but a coarse, indecent frenzy. Insulting remarks were hurled at the bride, and several women made advances towards the handsome groom. And things went further than this, for all the doctors and dentists and druggists and advocates began to do a rushing business. Family squabbles flourished. Mothers-in-law seemed to make up for lost time. Wives remembered it was their duty and prerogative to whine and cry for new dresses and expensive jewellery. To top it all, the city council decided it was time to levy new taxes. It was obvious, wasn't it, that only the devil could be at the bottom of this? In the meantime, the poor bride, trying desperately to stop the fighting and brawling, kept muttering, "It must be the devil gotten into him. That's what it must be." She rushed to the evil one in disguise and tugged at his poncho. "Oh, Lord," she cried, "they're going to kill one another." "What do I care?" sneered old Cloven Hoof. "It's no concern of mine. The worse it gets, the better I like it." The poor girl, amazed, berated him. "What a heart your excellency has! It's like a stone! You must be the devil himself!" And she made the sign of the cross with her fingers. No sooner had the evil one seen her gesture than he tried to race from the scene. But she had a strong hold on his poncho, and he had to duck his head through the opening, leaving the cape in the girl's hands. The devil's party disappeared in a puff. But, since then, every once in a while, old Satan comes back to Ica, searching for his poncho. Whenever this happens, the liquor starts flowing, of course, and things get really lively all over again.